learn something new every day. I am Joan Boyko, Coordinator of Communications and Community Outreach for the Palm Springs Unified School District. We are here each Sunday at 6:30 a.m. on 99.1 FM KGX and 9 a.m. on 92.3 FM KWXY. We also invite you to download and subscribe to our podcast so you never miss a show. All you have to do is go to iTunes, look for You Learn Something New, press subscribe, and you will get a new show each Sunday afternoon. This show, of course, is produced by my very dedicated team of student interns here in the Digital Arts Technology Academy, also known as DATA, at Cathedral City High School under the direction of Mr. Bryce Johnson. Janet's on the board today. Hello. How are you?
Hi. I'm good.
Everything going well?
Yep.
All right, good. We're going to have you on the show soon as a guest so everybody can get to know you okay. a little bit. But thank you for all your hard work. And today on the show, I'm very pleased to welcome our Palm Springs Unified Director of Nutrition Services, Stephanie Bruce.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Good to have you. It's been a while.
It has.
It's probably been about a year.
Yeah. Wow.
So, how long have you been in this position now?
6 years now.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
I can't believe it's been that long.
I can't either.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy. So how many, now things have changed this year and we'll talk about that,
yeah.
but how many meals do we serve like a week and how many meals do we serve a year?
A week? That's a really good question. Daily we do about 22,000 meals a day and that's with breakfast, lunch, and supper.
How many?
22,000
a day.
Wow. And actually it's up a little bit. We're probably closer to 23,000 now because we're actually serving more students. We're doing about 7,000 breakfasts, around 15,000 lunches, and about 4,000 suppers.
Wow.
So what does that equal out to? More than 26,000? Ooh, 26,000 meals. Yeah, we're up.
Wow. Crazy. That's a lot of meals.
It's a lot of meals in one day. Yeah, it's...
How many people do we have working in your department?
We have 160 employees in our department.
I had no idea that was that many.
Yeah, because, we have 27 school sites, so
right.
we have staff at each school site, and then we have a central kitchen, we have the office staff, we have a warehouse, and we have delivery drivers. So we're a pretty big operation.
Wow. Yeah, well, each of the elementary schools have what, like four or five?
The elementary schools have 2 to 3 employees. Middle schools have 5 to 6. And the high schools have about 10 to 15, depending on the amount of students we serve.
Wow. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. And then how many people are in the central kitchen?
Central kitchen, we have about 50 people total with the warehouse, central kitchen, and office.
Wow, it's amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah, we're like a mini corporation.
You certainly are.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you have not, if you have not, because very few people have
True.
Had the opportunity to see the operation in the central kitchen. It is, I don't know how to describe it other than remarkable and amazing and impressive because, first of all, and I bring this up every time you're here, you could eat off those floors, literally.
Yeah.
I mean, there's somebody who must be right behind all those people constantly sweeping and mopping, and it's immaculate.
Yeah, there is. It's Clark. Clark is our only custodian in the facility, and he's amazing. I was out there helping, and I dropped something on the floor, and before I realized it, it was cleaned up. I mean, he's always there.
And it's, it's pristine is what it is looking. Like, if you didn't walk in while there was action, you would think nobody did anything in there.
That's
I mean,
true.
That's how clean it is. And they do a lot in there. I mean, there's assembly lines and they're baking and they're cooking and it's an impressive operation. We had, this is the guest that I happen to be there for, one of the head guys at the USDA, I think.
Oh, yeah, Kevin Concannon, yeah. The former deputy undersecretary.
And he was most impressed with what he saw. He was expecting that.
He wasn't. And we still have his quote up on the wall that says it was, he said it was the best nutrition operation he'd ever seen. So we keep that.
Well, yeah. I make sure everybody, this is what you have to live up to. So now we had a big change this year.
Yes.
So before we used to describe our students who were in poverty as either free or reduced lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I think that term's still used.
It is.
The truth of the matter is that because of our status and the fact that we have so many students who are living below the poverty level,
right. We
this year have gotten to provide free meals for all
everybody.
Of our students.
Yeah, all our students. Right. So we used to take meal applications,
right.
And I was able to use what's called direct certification, and I can get the information of all the students who are on some sort of government assistance. And we were able to meet the numbers we needed to meet in order to provide meals to everybody for free.
Wow. So how much of our participation, how much has our participation increased because of that? I'm assuming it did.
It's interesting. At the beginning, it didn't. We actually were down, but so was our enrollment, which I expected. Even though we notified parents what we were doing, a lot of the students didn't realize that the meals were free for everyone. So once the word got out, participation started to increase. And I mean, last year we were doing about 23,000 meals a day, and now we're at 26,000 meals a day. So our participation is up, even though our enrollment is down.
Mm-hmm. Well, and why wouldn't it be?
I know.
I mean, I wouldn't get why everybody wouldn't just, and I know some are going to say, well, the food's not good. Well, you know what? The food is good. If you haven't tried it lately, it's a far cry from when people our age and older went to school.
Yeah, it's a little different.
And there's always an option. I mean, like, if you don't like what the main entree is of the day, you can always get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or whatever. You always have a sandwich or something.
There's always something else. Right. There's at least 2 to 3 options at the elementary schools. In the middle and high schools, there's about 10 to 15 options.
And I just saw a tweet the other day from our principal at Desert Hot Springs High School.
Yes.
So excited about new produce bar.
I know.
She didn't call it a salad bar. She called it a produce bar.
Yeah, we call it a produce bar because it's not really a salad. It's fruit and vegetable. Mm-hmm.
So is this the first one that we've had?
This is the first one. It's something we have wanted to do for at least 4 years. Desert Hot Springs High School is one of our, we serve the most students at a high school there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought it would be appropriate to start it there because we figured if we can do it there, we can do it at all the high schools. And it took us several years to plan it, get the right equipment, figure out the logistics. And we were so worried about that first day, and the students just walked in like it had been there forever. And it was so nice to just see them filling up on fresh fruits and vegetables and eating it, which is wonderful. So it just is so much more appealing, and everything's fresh, and some of it's local. So it's kind of a win for everybody.
So is the plan to have that at all of our high schools?
It is the plan, yes.
Starting next year?
Hoping next year. Yeah, I have to write an equipment grant to do an expansion to get the rest of the equipment. We actually, the ones that you see up at the school now were donated by a fresh produce organization that I did a presentation for, and as payment for my presentation, they donated the salad bars for the high school. Which I thought was fabulous. I'll do anything for a free salad bar.
Well, can't you go to, or is this like, I mean, maybe this is not even legal. I don't know. You can't go to like people who you buy your fruits and vegetables from and say, well, if you want us to be able to buy more because we're going to have these salad bars, but get us the salad bars.
Yeah, and that's not really.
You can't do that.
I mean, I could always, I could ask, but.
Yeah, as I'm saying this, I'm like, that's not. Because what if you have to go with the lowest prices? And I mean, you have to do a competitive bid. That's
right.
Like bribery, actually. Well, why did I even bring that up? Never mind.
Yeah, it would never kind of mind. Go against our procurement procedures.
Yeah, actually, so. It certainly would. I'm just trying to get some for nothing. My heart was in the right place.
It
but
was.
That actually was that we're not doing that.
And there are plenty of organizations out there that you can get a free salad bar right. from. No Kid Hungry, and you know, there's the names escape me right now. But you know, we're going to go that route as well to see if we can get the rest.
Very cool. Well, that's exciting because that's, you know, there's one thing about, but you know, some kids don't want to buy a packaged salad, like, you know, one that's already put together. But if they have the option of putting it together themselves and putting their own dressing and all that stuff, then it makes a difference.
It's great. And it actually reduces waste too, not just
right,
the food waste,
true.
But now we're not using all of those containers to put the separate servings of fruits and vegetables in for that school. So that was one of the reasons we went this route as well.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. I've heard, you know, it's still pretty new, but I've heard really good things from Desert Hot Springs.
Yeah, it was only today was day
new,
two.
Well, no, it's a little. We're in May here. It's been a couple weeks. So,
I guess it has been a couple weeks.
People know that we record this show in advance, so that's okay. So, how about next year? What do you have, like, any other changes in menu or new foods coming down the pike?
So some of the changes for next year, this last year we made a big change and offered a lot of a variety. The students wanted a lot of variety, but it didn't work. There were too many choices, and it took a long time for students to get through the line. So, and you know, some things that this tested well with the students, once it got out to the line, they just didn't want it. So we've streamlined the menus for next year, and we are doubling up on the items that they are very popular, things that they really like. We've added some things like chicken wings. Mm-hmm. We've added nachos. We've also are going to continue our whole muscle chicken breast that we started doing this last year that has really taken off. The students really like it. It's actually the same breaded chicken breast that you can get at Chick-fil-A, but it just has a whole grain breading on it, but it's still really good. You can't tell, it's delicious. You know, but other than that, there's not a lot of new items that we're trying. We tried a lot of new items last year that just kind of fell short. So we thought we're gonna go back to the basics this year and then just slowly build with some new items as we progress.
Cool, let's put Janet on the spot.
Okay.
Shall we?
Be honest.
Janet, do you eat school food?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know whether I like the way she says uh-oh. Do you like it?
I mean, like, it's not, like, it's eatable. Like, it's not bad. Like,
wait, that you're saying it wrong, then. You said it's not like it's eatable.
Oh, I meant it's
edible.
It's edible.
Okay, yeah. Sorry.
Okay, it's not bad.
It's not bad. Like, it's good. Like, it's food.
It's not great, though. I mean, you wouldn't eat the school food over a restaurant.
Yeah, like.
Well, that's honest.
Like, it's school lunch, like.
Yeah. What do you like? What do you not like? Because Stephanie takes notes, you know.
I usually get like the chicken sandwich or the pizza.
Uh huh.
Oh yeah, the pizza. I like the pizza.
The fruit is really good. Like the tangerines. Like the apples.
Those came from California.
Those are really good. I always ask if I can get like more than one because
you can.
They're really good.
Yeah.
Good. Do you eat breakfast in school too?
Yes.
How do you like the breakfast?
It's good. I usually get the breakfast is really good. I like the cereal here, but I don't know if it's like too much to ask for. But like soy milk would be nice because I am lactose, so I have to like eat like dry cereal.
Yeah, unfortunately, in the school meal program, we can't offer alternatives to milk unless you have a medically required diet for it. And since milk is a choice, it's not something you have to have on the meal program. We don't offer it for that reason and the expense. We tried it once, and students wouldn't take it, so we ended up wasting it because it doesn't last. And the cost is about a little more than a third of what our total reimbursement is for the meal. So it's just not cost effective to offer it to everybody, unfortunately. But I'm hoping those things are changing, because there's so many things changing in the food industry that hopefully the cost on that will come down. I mean, either that or almond milk, or, you know, some sort of alternative to regular cow milk. It'd be nice to be able to offer that.
So, yeah.
But like, you guys are doing good. It's not bad.
The struggle is the quality of the food. When you're preparing that much food to serve in a 30-minute time period, you have to cook well in advance, and then cool it. Then you have to package it, then deliver it, and reheat it. And it does. The quality breaks down once you get it. I would love to be able to cook to order. We just don't have that time or facility to do that.
So you basically have warmers at the site. You don't have cooking. They don't cook there.
We do. They do cook some things, but most of the food comes from the central facility. There's some things we cook from scratch. Some things are processed from manufacturers, like the chicken breast that we use on our chicken sandwich. Or even the hamburger patties come processed for us, so that we don't have to hand form patties. But there are some things that are cooked, especially in the high schools and middle schools. Elementary schools, they all do have ovens, but they mainly reheat the food that we've cooked and prepared in the central facility.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. If you're just joining us, you're listening to You Learn Something New Every Day on KGX and KWXY, and my guest is our director of Nutrition Services, Stephanie Bruce. And what a big job you have, lady.
Yeah, I know.
Like 160 plus employees and an operation where I see you guys, I mean, you're doing breakfast, you're doing lunch, mm-hmm. you're doing supper.
Correct.
Which is like that's not a hot meal.
It can be. Yeah, there are some hot items. There's some cold items as well. It depends on the location and what we have access to. It used to be all cold. We started doing hot probably 2 years ago, I think.
And it's at every site?
It's at every elementary site.
Wow.
It's at every middle school, and it's the only high school we have it at is Desert Hot Springs.
So it's primarily the reason you have it is for our ACES students.
Yeah,
so
the after-school students.
The after-school programs at all the elementary and middle schools go to 6 o'clock.
Right.
So they're having a supper at what, like 5?
It depends. Most of them come about right as soon as school lets out, and they'll come and get a meal. Some will take a cold meal and they'll take it back to their classroom and eat a little later.
Mm-hmm.
So sometime between 3:30 and 6 p.m. they're eating.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Because, you know, these kids haven't eaten since lunch,
yep.
and which could be 10:30.
Right.
Or 11 at some of the sites.
Right.
So that's a long stretch for a little kid not to have food.
It is. Yes.
So that's a great service. And then, but this is also like, okay, the ACES kids are a captive audience, but
right.
if you're after school at a club or a sports thing, or you just come and eat,
right? It's for any student, it's for any child under the age of 18. They don't even have to be enrolled in our schools, but for security reasons, we're really only serving the students that are on campus.
Right. I mean, we don't want to create, like, you know, inviting the community to come on campus to eat, because like you said, it's for security purposes.
Right. But, you know, like many parents bring the siblings and they feel like only the child who is enrolled there can eat, but that's not true. That all the children can eat.
Yeah, and so that takes us to also summer feeding.
Yes.
So we even feed kids when school's not in session.
Yeah.
And, we have summer school going on, mm-hmm. but I think the feeding period extends beyond the 4 weeks of summer school usually.
It does, yeah.
Right?
And
it's not only for our summer school kids. We have families that come, right?
Right.
From the community, because it's rough for them to, you know, they come summer.
It is.
They're needing to provide 3 meals a day, where during the school year they didn't.
Right. We at Sunrise Park, we have a summer barbecue that goes the entire length of summer. We do all of our summer schools. We do a few recreation departments in the area. We do a few housing communities as well. We work with the landlords and deliver meals to the students who are there in the housing units. And we also service the Boys and Girls Clubs all the way down to Mecca. So we drive a truck to Coachella and Mecca and do the Boys and Girls Clubs there.
Okay, why? Like, I mean, why isn't CV serving them?
You know, they at the time they didn't like the menu, and so we had a Boys and Girls Club here in Desert Hot Springs.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Do we not have a Boys and Girls Club Desert Hot Springs anymore?
No, we don't.
You know what? Now that you said this, I realize I don't hear from them, but I didn't realize that they closed.
Borrego Springs took them over, so they kind of kicked them out, which was kind of sad because we were actually servicing more students when it was the Boys and Girls Club, and we did their summer program, and they liked our menu better than Coachella's, so they asked if there was a possibility. And we went down, looked at the facility, and saw the number of kids, and it was worth it. And anything I can do to feed kids, I'll do it.
Wow, that's great. It's also, labor intensive, I guess. But,
you know, it was the first year just trying to figure everything out. But the kids responded to our staff so well, and our staff had so much fun doing it that they want to come back and do it every year. And, you know, so I figure every year, you know, Coachella will probably want to take it back over, but that hasn't happened, and so we're willing to go as long as they'll have us.
That's so cool. That's great. And so we talked about the fact that it's all free now, mm-hmm. for everyone.
Yep.
So you don't have a, quote, meal application to fill out.
Right.
However, that doesn't mean that we do not need you to fill out anything. Because we still have to account for everyone.
Right.
And so explain what they do have to fill out and when they need to do that.
So what they have to fill out is what's called an alternate income form. So it's not a meal application. It doesn't take all the required information of the meal application. But what it does, the information it does collect is the name of the family member, the parent, the number of students that are in the household. So we'll take the names of the students. And then it also asks for a range of income and the number of people in the household. And what that determines where they would have fallen in that free reduced paid category. And that's how the state of California now provides funding for school districts is based on that socioeconomic status. So we continue to take that information, and that is required that everybody...
To be in the program.
Well, it's required for everybody to fill out, and it's required for our funding, our education funding, for the classroom funding. That's what it's required for. I don't need it for my department, because once I certify for the community eligibility program that we're using to feed all the students for free... I don't have to take any of that information for 4 years.
So we need this for ADA?
We need it to secure funding for the school, correct. That's how funding is now. There's a base funding.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's what's called supplemental and concentration money. That based on our free and reduced status, that determines the amount of supplemental and concentration money that the district receives.
Oh.
And then that's what the LCAP is for. So the Local Control Accountability Plan.
Oh, are you listening, everyone? So this is very important. It's not about us, like, caring how much you make or, trying to put a label on anybody. It's not about that. It's about we have to show that the majority of our parents are in low-income status.
Absolutely.
And that's the reality of it.
Right.
We are, and most of our families are. So the more people that fill it out and we're able to show that,
right,
then we will get more funding for the
classrooms. Yeah, it's just, it's really important. It really is.
So they do this at the... During August?
Beginning of every school year.
Okay.
We did it for the first time this last year, and we did it electronically and had an amazing response. doing it electronically, which allowed us to process the information quickly.
That is easier.
It is, you know, because we have to have everything processed by the first Wednesday in October, which is one of the days that we have to report numbers to the state. And then all the way through October, we have to report those numbers as well. And then we compile that information, not just for at the LCAP, but also for Title I funding, for E-rate, for technology, and any other reason we would need when students are taking tests for college or college entrance exams. They can get a discount or waived fees based on that status. So we maintain that for them and provide them the information so that they can get a waived fee.
Wow. So this is important stuff.
Yes, so we don't just feed kids.
That's right. It's a big operation here. And I would be remiss if I did not say hello to Mr. Bryce Johnson, who at some point here, I guess Janet had to leave, so he took over the board. Hi, Bryce.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I don't know if you're on. I can't hear you.
Maybe
can you
hear me now?
No.
No.
All right, so I don't know if I don't know if everybody else can or not.
He
said hello. Oh, you can? Okay, so they probably hear you. I just wanted to say hello, and thank you for lending us your students, because they're pretty amazing. I will miss this crew, but look forward to the next group. Janet did a great job on her first solo gig last week and this week. And I also have stellar interns who are doing videos for us.
I've had two in my department for the last semester, and I can't wait to see what they're developing for us. They haven't shown me the final product yet, but they're amazing.
Yeah, these kids are very talented, Bryce. They really are.
I've had the opportunity to see a little of yours.
Oh, have you? Oh, I can't wait. They're so talented.
Yeah.
So smart.
Now, what is she talking about? These are different kids.
These are different kids.
Okay.
She has kids that are showing essentially everything you guys just talked about. So the food in the factory all the way to getting
all the way to the students.
And what is this for?
Marketing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, make sure when it's done, Stephanie, that you pass it along so I can share it.
I will.
No, we have a YouTube channel for the district now.
That's right.
We
can
need
put it up
to put it up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what my interns are. I'm saying my interns.
Yeah.
They're the superintendent's interns, really. But I mean, they're district wide, and there's so much to do. I'm so glad that you had your own. That's great. But whatever is produced, we like to share it
Absolutely.
On the YouTube channel. So and post on Facebook and everything. I love it. These kids are talented.
They're so talented.
You know, we actually I hate to say free labor, but it is. I mean, we don't have to go pay thousands of dollars anymore. And they're professional.
They are.
They really are. So this is cool. I digressed a little bit, but it's okay.
It's okay.
But back to food. So everything's going well.
It is, yeah.
And next year we're going to scale back in terms of rather than offering the moon and the sun and everything in between and having a lot of leftovers.
Right.
Focus on what the kids like.
Yeah, just focus on what they like. And we're still continuing our California Thursday program. And
what is that?
That's where we try and the menu is almost 100% California grown or raised products or food that's processed here in the state of California. So that it doesn't travel so far.
Mm-hmm.
And all of our produce, 80% of what we actually serve comes from the state of California. It comes from local farmers, which is nice.
That's great.
Yeah.
And you still do. I know Jennifer Maddox, who's our
wellness coordinator,
mm-hmm. is doing a lot with we have a wellness committee, and we could really talk about that for, I only have a minute left. So, but all that's going well.
It
keeping
is.
Keeping us in compliance. And
yep.
And plus, she's in the classrooms all the time.
She is. She's so good.
She is great.
She really is. I could not do any of this without her.
And guess what?
Yeah.
We could not do any of what we do without you.
Oh,
so
you're so sweet.
Thank
I love
you
it
for
here.
Everything that you do. I love you. And keep up the
I
great
love you
work.
Too. Thanks, Joan.
And next week, our guest will be our Director of Special Education, Dr. Vicki Parkinson, and our Assistant Director, Jeanette Anderson, to talk about our services for our students with special needs. Our show airs each Sunday right here on 99.1 KGX and 92.3 KWXY, and our podcast is uploaded each Sunday afternoon. Please subscribe by going to iTunes. Look for You Learn Something New. Press subscribe. Please tell all your friends to do the same. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.